Has it ever occurred to you that you have hardly opened your mouth to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Or you have, in which case I say God bless you. But the fact is, most of us hardly ever want to let other people know, as though we are in some sort of secret service. Do your colleagues in your office or your fellow teachers know that you are a believer? Speak just a word for Jesus. You say, well, somehow no opportunity ever presents to me to open my mouth and say I'm a Christian and to tell others about Jesus Christ. Is that so? Let me tell you why you don't do it. Because you never pray about it. If you pray, God will open opportunities. Speak just a word for Jesus. In 1947, long time ago, I was introduced to this booklet, The Reason Why. It was in a different format. This is my version. I've done reprinting 3 times, and this is the latest. Anyhow, I received a copy, and I read, and I read, and I read. It was such a captivating and interesting, gripping book written by a New Zealander called Robert Laidlaw. Amazing book. You know, by 1969, 16 million copies of this booklet had been printed. In addition, I printed 30,000 that has finished long ago. So we keep on printing and keep on distributing, keep on telling, passing on the story. What story, you say? Well, dear friends, is the most gripping, most urgent, the most relevant story that needs to be told and told and retold again and again. Have you ever thought of telling that story to someone? Joy incomparable is the topic of my sermon this morning. Something you, when you know what you're missing, you want to be part of it. But simply because you've never tried and never experienced and never knew, you just keep your mouth shut. I said, dear friends, when the Lord Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, do you believe that? Oh, dear friends, our risen Lord Jesus Christ had come to the point of his goodbye. He gathered his disciples. You know what he told them? These are called famous last words, so important. He said to them, all power is given unto me. All power means all. There is no power that is not given to Jesus, our Lord, risen from the dead. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Ah, he is the one that you came here this morning for. Do you know that? You came here to do honor to him, to worship him, and to hear what he's got to tell you. And what did he tell us through the words of Holy Scripture in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 18 to 20? He says, now go and tell and teach all nations, all people who will listen to you, tell them the story you have receive. Teach them the things you have been taught. And I will be with you until the end of the world. What a blessed assurance. Robert Laidlaw, the writer of this booklet, heeded that command to go and tell. He started a little business called the Farmers Trading Company. In New Zealand, do you know where New Zealand is? For inhabited countries, it is the southernmost country in the whole world. Southernmost. In other words, it's nearest the South Pole. how many of you have been to New Zealand? It's a beautiful country. Only thing is there are so few people. Now, Robert Laidlaw was in New Zealand, having emigrated from Scotland. Scotland is another beautiful country, long, long ways away. Now, he started this company, and he had a burning zeal for the Lord Jesus to tell others about him. Was what gripped him. Does it ever occur to you that you ought to tell someone? Robert Laidlaw began with his own workers. He, being the owner and the boss, went around and talked to his employees, people who worked for him, and to tell them, "Ah, you have a better master than me. A master who can help you, save you from everlasting death, destruction." And they believed, and his company grew and grew and grew. You know how many people he employed eventually? Nearly 3,000. And he says, "Now it's so difficult for me to go around and talk to 3,000. I put it into a booklet. Here it is. The reason why." What is this story about in reason why? He says, supposing a young man were to give his fiancée a beautiful diamond ring costing a fortune, let's say $10,000. And then days later comes the young lady and says, "Darling, I thank you very much for that little box you gave me." He's wondering, "What are you talking about? I gave you a ring." "You say a box?" "Oh yes. When you buy a ring, the jeweler will put in a little box." Now, what is wrong with the story? Of course, this is only a story. Many of us are like the young lady. We are so caring, so concerned about the box that contains the ring. The real worth is the ring, is you, your soul inside you. And ladies put in all kinds of things on their faces and wear all kinds of flashy clothing. That is the box. We are too concerned about the box. We've forgotten we have a beautiful diamond in us. Now that is the story. Jesus came to save us from concern over the box, that we may realize that it's not the box. The box will perish, the diamond remains. This is the story of what I have to tell you this morning. Joy incomparable. There is nothing more exciting, more thrilling, more challenging, and more satisfying than to bring someone to Christ. Have you ever had the joy of bringing somebody to Christ? Have you? Ask yourself honestly, have you tried? Don't just try, but first pray, "Lord, make me a winner for souls, winner of souls. Send me forth. Send someone who needs to hear the story and use me." Make that your prayer today. In 1953, my story began in 1947, right? 6 years later, I finished my medical studies and became what we call a house doctor. Recent graduate. This is called the tenderfoot. You're just starting in the hospital. And I resolved that when I go around the wards, I will give this little booklet, The Reason Why. Now, by the way, I brought 55 copies, and they are priced at a very affordable $1 each. Yes. So get a copy. So I armed myself with 3 copies. Went around the ward, and there were 3 male nurses. In those days, we call them hospital assistants. When I saw these 3 young men, I said, "Hey, you, I give you one each. Read this. And they did. And two came to the Lord Jesus to believe. And one has become a deacon, now an elder, and serves the Lord faithfully in Life Church. In my many missions outreaches, planting churches, this elder has been my most faithful and loyal assistant. Whenever I need a preacher, I say, Elder Cool, you ready? Anytime, anywhere, he will go. All because of the reason why. He too has come into the joy of knowing how to save souls, how to win souls. Now, having said that, let's turn to the Word of God and see where you can fit in, dear friends. Never underestimate yourself, because it is not you. Not you. It is the Spirit in you. You know the 11 disciples? How come most of them were uneducated or poorly educated? And when Jesus rose to heaven, left only these 11 to tell the story, to tell others. What happened? Answer, not them, not you. Holy Spirit. When you pray, the Holy Spirit comes into you. You are different. So were the 11 disciples. Now to today's text. One of the Gospels I like very much is the Gospel according to St. Luke. Maybe because he was also a doctor like me, and he wrote this. Chapter 15. In this chapter, we're going to read of three interesting anecdotes or stories told by none other than Jesus himself about the price of a soul. Are you concerned about your soul and the soul of your best friend, the soul of those you like a lot? Do you ever think about them? Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Verse 1. Then drew unto him all the publicans and sinners. Who are the publicans and sinners? These are those who worked for the occupying power of Rome. And people don't like them because they are collaborators. They serve the master, power, Romans, ruling over Israel. Here they were. Verse 2. And the Pharisees and scribes, who are these? These are the people who run the religion of the Jews, the most respected elders and those who mattered. They murmured when they saw, hey Jesus, why is it you associate with this kind of people? This man receiveth sinners and eats with them. But you know what Jesus came for? Do you know what Jesus came to the world for? He says, I came not to be served by others, but to serve others. And to save the lost, to save us. His one purpose coming to earth was for your sake, my sake, to save us from our death, from our lost condition. And that is why he found publicans and sinners, the objects of pity and love. So he went to them. But the Pharisees only looked at the outside, like the man who cares for the box. They have missed the soul, and they only care for the box, how you behave, that others can see. Make up a show. Pharisees and scribes say, hey Jesus, why do you associate with these people? What for? But our Lord Jesus had a higher purpose. Do you know that? our Lord Jesus, God Almighty, He has a purpose that speaks to you. Be interested in other people's souls. What can I do to save somebody? For there is joy incomparable. Verse 4. Here the Lord Jesus tells a story. And His stories are perfect stories, always having a lesson, a theme, something most precious. What is the theme of this story? Jesus says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, does not leave the 99 and go after that which is lost until you find it? Now here is something that speaks to all of us, all of us. If you happen to be in New Zealand, you understand what Jesus is talking about. In Singapore, you would never see any sheep at all, except on the table. Jesus says, look, supposing you have 100 sheep, and at the end of the day, you count your sheep, 99 only. What do you do? Do you say, too bad, I'm tired, let's go to bed and sleep? Do you do that? Of course not, unless you are the hireling. You're the shepherd. Dear friends, pray that we all have a shepherd's heart, and that we have the concern to go out to the lost sheep. This is the story of three in this chapter about the worth of a soul. How can I lose one out of 100? That is the worth of that soul. You don't say, never mind, I still have 99. It's not bad, isn't it? Oh, dear friends, the worth of your soul is precious to God. And for that purpose, He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, should not be like the 100th sheep that went astray, got lost. So what does the Lord say? Verse 5, when He has found it, He laid it upon His shoulders, rejoicing. Did He take up a stick and beat up the sheep and say, you naughty sheep, where did you go? Give me all the trouble to come for you at this time of the night? No. This is the heart of God, yearning and longing after every lost sheep, every straying one, including you and me. And He found us, He brought us back tenderly, lovingly, as even a lost son, a lost sheep. So that is the story. What does He say? Verse 6, when He comes home, He calls together His friends and neighbors and saying, rejoice with me. Here I say, dear friends, is the theme of today's story. Joy incomparable. There is joy that you cannot know until you experience it. And how can you experience it? Get a copy of this. If you don't know how to say anything for Jesus, you can give a tract. Go and tell someone and be prayerful about it. Think about what his needs are. So this verse 6 says, He gathered His neighbors and His friends. What for? At the night? Of course, it is such an important event. A lost sheep is found. And He says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now verse 7 is the crunch verse. It's something I want you to pay special attention to. I say to you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven, wow, not on earth only, but in heaven. Why? You say, why should heaven rejoice because one lost soul has come back to the shepherd? Why? Oh, dear friends, the worth of a soul is recorded and felt even in heaven. in the presence of God's angels, the news travels up. He said, is that strange? I say, is there any strange nowadays with all your computer techniques and anything that happens immediately is known around the world. Now, when the soul is saved, heaven rejoices. Verse 7, Jesus says, I say to you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 who did not need repentance. Amen. So that is story number one. Does it ring a bell in anybody's heart? It could be your own family, you know. Could be your husband or your wife, somebody dear to you, and you say, never mind lah. As long as can live happily, physically, socially, okay, who cares? I say, you don't care, God cares. And for that reason, He sent His only begotten Son for you, for your wife, for your husband, for everyone. For this reason, He came. Story number two. Story number two is a different setting, but the theme is just the same. Jesus told the story here of a woman with 10 coins of silver. And if she loses one, does she happily go to bed and say, never mind, I still got 9 more? No, this is human nature. And if so, think of the heart of God about the lost coin. Are you concerned? Same application, same result. You go and sweep, you switch on the light. In the old days, you light up the oil lamp and you sweep every corner under the table, under the chair, under the bed, anywhere, until what? Ah, at last, the lost coin has come back. Then you rejoice. So that's number two. Now, the crunch verse is verse 10. Likewise, Jesus says, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, just like that lost coin that the woman could not give up. God is concerned for every soul that is at stake, that every soul. And for that reason, you know, we are told the Lord Jesus has not returned yet. You know, do you know why? Because, not because He's forgotten to return, or there is some hindrance to His return. No, not at all. Jesus has not come simply because He's long-suffering. Yeah, He's patient. What for? Waiting for more souls who are perishing. Maybe your husband, maybe your wife. Are you doing something about it? Praying for him, praying for her, and speaking and doing your best to impress that person. How you live as a Christian, does it impress him or her? Ah, God has not sent His Son, Jesus Christ, back yet. Our Lord has not come for that one reason. Now you know why He is not here yet. To give us time to go and be witnesses, to tell others, there is a Savior who saves, and if you do not receive Him, that's your lookout. But I pray that you will. Now, story number three. This is a long story, and you all know the story. It's called the story of the prodigal son, the younger son. Anyone here has two sons? I see quite a number here have two sons. And the younger son was a more adventurous young blood, you know. And one day he said to father, Father, I think I like to have my share of the family estate. Whatever it is, let me have my share. I want to go and make my own life. So father acceded, agreed, all right, you go. And there in a far country, he went as far as he could. I don't want to be in the sight of this old man, my father. He didn't like the old man. Amazing. How many of you don't like your fathers, whatever the reason? But do you know that no matter what happens, Father remembers you, still loves you, despite. So he goes, and then things don't happen as he thought it would be. Things are not always rosy. In society and on this earth, there is a turn of fortune suddenly. Bad times came. And by that time, this young fellow has spent all his money. What did he do? How many of you here have seen a pigsty? A farm for pigs. So he said, what can I do? I'm not trained in anything. I am not a professional. I have no skill in anything. I think I can feed a pig, can't I? So he went. Became assistant to a pigsty owner. And there he was. And there, day in, day out, looking after pigs. How many of you like to do that kind of business? Anyone? Of course not. Then he began to think. Do you know, while he was there in the pig business, Father was thinking of him non-stop. Every father knows what I'm saying, and those of you who are mothers also. Father thought of this son day and night, not just thought and on. But he goes to the front door, looks down the pathway. In a rural setting, you probably have an estate and there's a pathway. You look down the road. Anyone who appears there who looks like the sun, his heart will leap up and wait and see, could it be my son? One day there was a vagabond type of person appeared. Ah, looks like him. As he comes nearer, it is him. What did the father do? Ran to the son, kissed him, hugged him and said, welcome home. That is the story of the love of God for you and me. Now there was rejoicing. Third time, what did he do? Make a feast, a great feast to welcome the prodigal son. He didn't have to welcome the so-called good son in the house. He's there with him all the time. But this one who has returned, this is the story. The theme is God is interested in every runaway sinner. Come home. There is much blessing for all those who come home. Now I have a closing hymn. Let me tell you the story of the closing hymn. I was in Melbourne over 10 years ago. And we had a day retreat, an impromptu, unplanned day retreat. And several of the leaders of the church came up to our house up in the mountain in Dandenong. And then we had a time of spiritual refreshing. And then this young man, one of our leaders, who is a doctor, who played the guitar and who sang. And he sang a song which is so touching and so meaningful. I said, hey, Stephen, give me that song. Here it is. Now let's see what the song says. While passing through this world of sin, and others my life shall see, be pure and clean without within. Let others see Jesus in me. The theme is, will others see something different in you? Something good in you? Something like the Lord Jesus in you? The way you speak, the way you behave, the way you appear, the way you walk, the way you relate to others, is there something good that can attract someone to think, hey, something different about this person? Or are you the kind of when you appear, people say, hey, be far from me, be far from me. Yeah, what kind of testimony do you have? Stanza 2. Your life's a book, more than God's word. They're reading it through and through. People observe you. They don't say, hey, I'm observing you, no? No, people quietly observe. They know how you live. And they make conclusions. Ah, do you know? You hear this often. There are many people who never want to be Christians because of you. They say, if you're a Christian, what is the need to be a Christian? There's no difference. So why should I become a Christian? People read your lives. This is what stanza 2 says. Your life's a book. You tell them to read God's word. Of course they will not do it until they are believers. They rather read your life. They study your life. They see how you behave. Stanza 3. What joy to be at set of sun. Set of sun when the evening of your life comes and your life has concluded. In mansions beyond the blue, to find some souls that you have won, cause others saw Jesus in you. Is that a possibility? Is there someone here who is confident? When I get to heaven, there will be people who will come to me and say, thank you for giving me the booklet Reason Why. Thank you for living like Jesus Christ. That we saw something attractive, something meaningful, and we came and inquired, and because of you, stanza 4, then live for Christ both day and night. Ah, is important. Live for Him in the day, live for Him at night. At night is a time when many people do things that they don't want people to see them in the day. Oh, my friends, stanza 4 speaks to us. Be faithful, be pure and true, and lead the lost to Christ our light. Let others see Jesus in you. Our Father in heaven, may we remember the words we have just sung. May we live for the Lord Jesus until we see Him and hear Him say, well done. Now may the love of God the Father, the saving grace of Jesus Christ His Son, and the empowering of the Holy Spirit Comforter be with everyone who names the name of Christ, that we may all go forth to live for Him who died for us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.